Blog Talk Radio.
Some days you're weary.
Some days you're weary.
And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
You
song, it just does something to me. I tell you, you can just be going through a rough patch in life, and you hear a song like that, it just opens you up to hear from God and to know that God is watching over you and God is protecting you and God is leading you. It just does something to me. I could be having a bad day, and when I just hear that song, it just lifts my spirits. Amen. Well, hello, hello, and hello. It is Sunday, February 25th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you today?
Good evening. Yes, sir. Good evening to you, doctor. Good evening. It's a blessing to talk to you and to hear your voice, man, and to know that God is still blessing.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As always, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Father. This has been an interesting week, Father. We just thank you for seeing us from last Sunday to this Sunday. Lord, you have opened up so many doors for us. You have blessed us in so many ways. We just thank you, Father. Now we ask, Father, that you would add a blessing to this network. Bless everybody, Father God, who works for this network. Bless Brother Hakim and Sister Michelle and all the other hosts, Father. We ask that you would open up all of our ears, our minds, our hearts, and our eyes to hear from you. Take us higher, higher than we've ever been before. I know, Father God, what you have in store for this network. I am honored and humbled to be a part of it. We wait, Father God, for your blessings. We thank you, honor you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I am, as always, excited, and I hope you are too. It is my job, my duty, and honor to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. You know, Brother Hakim, we have had a lot of interesting things happen within the last couple of weeks in our nation, a lot of gun violence and a lot of issues that, and people are saying that we need to have Jesus back in the schools. And I could not agree more.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, when I was younger, we prayed in schools. You know, we always opened up with a word of prayer. And I know that times have changed. And I know that, you know, we now have people who don't all believe in Christianity. We have Muslims. We have all different types of religions and religious people out here. And I believe that we should have a place for all of that. But this America was founded on Christian values, and I believe that if we bring Christ back into the schools, that it can change some things. Where there is no Christ, there is no peace. Where there is no Christ, there is no love. Where there is no Christ, all hell breaks loose. So I think that is the start, that we need to teach our children how to pray, not only at home, but in school, I know it happened when I was younger, and it helped me. It helped me even when I was facing a test. We often talk about the trials and the tribulations and the testing that we go through and the pruning process. But when I was younger and I was going through things in school, I often prayed, and God saw me through. And I believe that if we allow God to have his way, not some things, not most things, but all things, will turn out all right. I just had to share that.
Mm-hmm.
This week, the word for this week that I want you to search out is patience. That's a big word. Patience. You can preach 20 different sermons on that one word. Patience. That's something that this generation needs to learn. Patience. We are of a microwave generation where we want it right now and right then. And we have pushed patience out of the window. But we know that we serve a God answers our prayers when he so desires to. And whether he waits 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years, he is sovereign, then that makes it right. But when you learn patience, let me back up. When you ask God for patience, sometimes we go through some things. God will teach us patience in the midst of a situation. That's why we ought to be careful what we ask for. I've heard people say, I want the patience of Job, and when they get a little taste of Job, they're running down the street. They can't handle it. They're losing their minds. But you ask God for the patience of Job. Do you know what Job went through? So I want us to study that word. Look up scripture that pertains to patience. As Christians, we ought to have a sense of patience upon us. It is important that we look at these things and these words that I give you, because it is essential for our survival. And I don't tell you these words just to tell them to you. If you look up and you hide the scriptures in your heart, this week you may deal with some stuff. You may go through some things. And that scripture on patience will see you through. It will help you to see things a lot clearer. Brother Hakim, I have to tell you that yesterday I had to learn and remember my patience. I said this morning in Sunday service, I love my beard. And I went to the barbershop yesterday, and this new barber took a lawnmower and just wrecked my beard.
Oh, wow.
And I got so upset, because, to be honest with you, doctor, I don't like looking like a 19-year-old. I like looking my age. But when without hair on my face, I look like a 19-year-old. And some people would say that's not a bad thing, but in my mind, I don't like looking like that. And a part of me got a little upset. But I had to remember patience. You never know what that person was going through. That person could have been dealing with any type of issues, some situations, and their minds might not have been in the game. So I've learned that before lashing out at a person, sometimes it's best to have a little patience. Now, I'm not saying that it came just like that, but after communing with God, and listening to his voice, I learned a little patience. So God is always working. God is working on all of us, including the preacher. We are not above reproach. God deals with us all individually. He deals with us all. And I just thank God for him. It's a true blessing and an honor. This week's topic is the joy of servitude. Servitude is a powerful word. Serving is a powerful word. Every Christian ought to have a spirit of serving. Let's touch on that for just a minute. The scripture comes out of the book, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse 42. And it says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I want to touch on that for just a minute. I'm going to go further and if we have time. But what I was thinking about, let me knock out one word that is that the Bible had in there. And today we spoke about it even in our Sunday school lesson, slave. For all black people, we have an issue with that word, and as well as we should. In the biblical times, the word slave is not what it means today. In those times, you had people who, the lower class were there, the upper class was there. Many times people would borrow money and borrow goods and borrow different items from those who were of the upper class, and with them not being able to pay them back, they became servants to these people. Whether it was a servant for a number of years, a number of days, but that's what that speaks about. It is not talking about the servitude and the slave mentality and the slave acts that we had to go through, the harshness and the belittling and the mocking and the deaths and the lynching. That's not what it's speaking about. It's speaking about those who have to pay a debt. Some were life debts, some were working debts. But I wanted to clear that up because it can cause an issue for those who read the Bible and those who are studying along with me, and they see that word, and it could cause some people to get a bad taste in their mouth. But I wanted to just let that be known. But as we go on into this season of Lent, we find that Jesus, as he was on his way to Jerusalem, a word which culminated his whole ministry. He said that I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, when you think about Jesus and you think about the Messiah and you think about the scriptures and you think about all that has been said about the coming of the Messiah, you would think that this man would come into the world as a king of high standards, that he would come into this world as one who would sit on a high horse, that he would come into this world as one who would be a leader and who would remove the hands of oppression off of his people at any given time. That he would be a man who would, at any given time, having to pull out his sword and shield, that he would do so if it meant honoring and freeing his people from the hands of oppression. But that's what Jesus was. He did not come into this world with a physical sword and shield, but what he used was the Word of God. The Word of God was his shield, his sword, his protection, and it guided him. It pushed him along the way. And when times where he felt weak and he had issues with the people and he had sleepless nights because of him being man, the Word of God was his fuel. It was a fuel for his body. It was a fire under his feet, and it kept him afloat at all given times. But above all else, Jesus came into this world as a servant. He didn't come into this world expecting somebody to wash his feet. And in fact, Jesus was the one that washed his disciples' feet. It takes a humble and special person to wash somebody's feet. Now, yes, we will wash our children's feet and our parents if they are unable, but can you imagine, can you humble yourself to wash somebody's feet that you don't know? If they just put their foot on your leg and say, "Wash my foot," can you do it? Can you be a servant to the people? Well, being a Christian, and we know that Jesus is the ultimate servant, Jesus opened up the door so that we can see he is our guideline to salvation. But when you speak about that, everything that Jesus did, he brought comfort to the people. He healed people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He was the comfort to anybody who needed him. He was truly the Walmart to the community. Y'all know Walmart has everything that you can think of. So Jesus was that servant. He was the great servant that had everything that anybody needed. He created a new way of acting, a new way of living, and a new way of breathing. He didn't come in, he didn't tell the people that you have to go through the sacrificial system in order to reach God. Now all you have to do is go through me. Humble yourself. Pray. Look out for one another. And in this season of Lent, be a blessing to somebody. Sacrifice for somebody. Do you know that sacrificing something for somebody is an act of servitude? When you give to somebody with a humble and sincere heart, you are doing God's work. You are carrying on the ministry that Jesus started. Everything that Jesus taught us and everything that Jesus urged us and challenged us to do within the scriptures was something that he would do himself. In fact, scripture says that we would go and do better and greater works than he has done. Brother Hakim, look at the churches and the denominations and the bodies of Christ that's out here today that's trying to hold up the bloodstained banner, that's pushing toward salvation. that's serving their communities, that's looking out for those who are less fortunate, that's giving bread to the hungry, that's comforting the widows, that's being a protector to the fatherless. This is our job. And we should take joy in serving our fellow man. As a Christian, we are to be Christ-like. If you call yourself a Christian and won't do the works that Jesus Christ have done, you need to reevaluate yourself. You need to reflect on what you call yourself. You have a lot of Christians that won't get out and do the work. They'd rather stay within themselves, stay in their houses, or go to church and not help somebody. Or they will go to church, see the need of a people or a person, and look the other way. Christ is not happy with that. I'm here to let you know that there is joy in servitude. But let me talk on the life of a servant. I always say that bad things do happen to good people. When bad things happen to us, we are to count it all as joy. James the Just, the brother of Jesus, spoke about that very well. He said that we should not worry about the things that come upon us, because when we worry about the things that come upon us, we take our eyes off of Jesus. Brother Hakim, I don't know about you, but I have not seen one person that can run the race looking backwards. You cannot run forward while looking backwards. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, because of your trials and the tribulations and the problems and the situations and the circumstances, Christ is not magnified. Christ is not glorified. Christ is not exhorted or exalted. We're going to deal with some things, but greater is he that is in us than he that is of this world. We are servants of the Most High God. When I say that I am a servant, that means that I'll step out and give my life if it meant that somebody else would see and know who Jesus is. Being a servant says that I'll give out my shirt off my back if it meant that somebody could be warm. Being a servant says that at the end of the day, I'll give all that I have, all that I've earned, and all that I am in order for a stranger to be comforted. But what say you? Are you a servant? Do you have joy in serving? Does it warm your heart when you can serve God's people? You see, when Jesus said that I have come to serve and not to be served, that was profound. The Israelite people are still waiting for their Messiah. Their Messiah, in their belief, will come in the form of a military leader who will sit on a great horse, who will come with a sword and shield, and who will remove the hands of oppression off the people. Jesus was here. He lived, was crucified and died, and rose on the third day. And throughout all that time, he was a servant. A servant who was beaten, a servant who was spat upon, a servant who was mocked, a servant who was hung on a tree, a servant whose clothes were being rationed off, a servant who had a crown of thorns placed on his head, a servant that after all that he went through, having to carry his own cross to the death place, a servant while on the cross said, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A servant who was humble, even up until death. A servant who gave up his life so that we may have life and life more abundantly. I'm here to let you know that the great servant, Jesus the Christ, is looking for like-minded servants that will have joy, that will have peace, that will have love within their hearts, that will not serve grudgingly or out of necessity or because they seen their grandmama or their mama serve, but will serve with a pure and clean heart. Jesus is looking for those who are willing to step out on faith and gird yourself and walk across that bridge, even though you may not see a foundation up under your feet. Jesus is asking, are you willing to take that step? And are you willing to take it further? But I challenge you today to be a servant. I urge you today to learn a servant's heart. I urge you today to walk in humility. But let me tell you about a servant. A servant is not one that's weak. A servant is one that is strong. A servant is one that's bold. When I say that you're bold, that means that you will work, do the work of Christ with authority, with boldness. You will preach and teach with boldness. You will not allow the works of the enemy to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. I'm asking right now, do we have some servants out here? Do we have some people out here that's ready to take this to the next level? Do we have some servants out here that's ready to say, for Christ I live and for Christ I die? Do we have some servants stay up all night and pray until they see God move on their behalf? Do we have some servants out here that will stand in the gap for God's people? Do we have some servants out here that's willing to pick up their Bible and study the Word of God and hide it within their hearts and tell somebody about the good works and the salvation of Jesus the Christ? Do we have some servants out here that have that joy in their hearts? Where are God's people? Where are God's servants? I'm here to let you know right now that I am a servant. Now, I'm not always the perfect servant, but I love God enough to let you know that I'll give up my life for this gospel. I'll give up everything that I have for this gospel. If I didn't have nothing but my Bible and my health, guess what? I have all that I need. But what about you? Are you willing to be a servant or only a servant when it's convenient? You see, God don't need seasonal servants. God needs a servant that's a servant in a season and out of season. What are you willing to do for the Lord? Choose to be like Paul. Lord, I'll go to Timbuktu. Just put it in my GPS. I'll go to hell, but I know you'll bring me back out. I'll go wherever I need to go, down into the dirt, just to pull somebody out. I'll go into that dark cave and unleash the chains that's holding your people back. And if I have to put the chains on myself so that somebody else can see your saving light, then so be it. God is looking for some authentic servants with joy in their hearts. I want to ask you, do you have the joy of servitude? Are you willing to be a servant of the Most High? If you are, if you want to be a servant and you don't have a church home, I urge you to find a Bible-based church. Submit yourself and let God have his way. I am CME. I said today I die. I am CME, born and bred. I was born CME, and I will die CME. But God is not calling for a denomination. But God is calling for a holy nation, a holy nation of servants. What are you willing to do for only what you do for Christ will last? Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
How?
Mm-mm-mm.
Beautiful message, and I love the call to action.
Amen. Whew.
Well, it
it's
seems
important.
Like we have a servant.
Amen.
We have a servant on the phone waiting to get in.
Amen. Amen. Mm.
Are
welcome
you ready?
To the Jubilee Affair. Amen. Welcome to. Yes. Bring him on. Yes, doctor. Mm.
Hello. Welcome.
Hey, Hakim. Hey, good evening.
Good evening, hey, brother.
Good evening. I heard your sermon, and you say you were CME. I go to a CME church where I live at in Ohio, too.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Yes, and I am I taught Sunday school today, and we talked about faith and think and First Timothy, and it
yes,
kind
sir.
Of relates to your sermon. And we talked about the greed, about we don't need to learn about money isn't everything, about how God tests our faith during times of trouble.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Fighting that good fight of faith, sir. That good
yes,
fight.
That, yeah, that good fight of faith. You know,
amen.
Because I said faith without works is dead.
Amen. Amen. And you got to have the faith in order to do the work.
Yes.
You got to have
and
that faith in order to do the work. Mm.
Yes. And what I discovered when I watched TV after the school shooting in Florida, that those teenagers, within 2 days, they started their foundation of trying to end school gun violence,
mm-hmm.
and they did it peacefully. And I said, they just sold the foundation that they're not going to back down. These are high school teenagers.
Amen. Amen. Amen, and that's a blessing because they're standing on their beliefs. They're standing on their beliefs that it is essential to end this gun violence. Because see you know and what's happening now? God is opening the eyes, but don't Scripture says that a child will lead them? You see, God
yeah.
is opening the eyes of the young folks now. God is opening the eyes of all the young people now. And see, and when God speaks about having a remnant of faith, a remnant of those who will open up a door, God, that's what God is speaking about, that remnant that he has hidden away. And I'm here to let it be known that God is opening up the eyes of these young folks. I see more servants coming into the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
and
sir.
And the morning scripture I did for my Sunday school lesson was Isaiah the 40th chapter verses 28 through 31.
Amen. Amen. You care to expound a little bit on that?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite verses in Isaiah. Besides, talking about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Mm. Yes, sir.
That and I heard and it. And I thought about these parents that spoke on TV, and this one parent I heard on CNN at the town hall saying he was tired and weary. And I thought about that Bible verse earlier in the week when he said that.
Amen.
And I told him, if I saw him, I said, just keep pressing on. Keep pressing
Amen.
On.
Amen. Because you know what? We're going to have those weary times. But we must remember to not grow weary in our well-doing. And then and dealing with a crisis like that, that you can't help but be weary and upset and tired and frustrated. But you know, I'm calling God's servants to do a prayer, that if we all unite together in prayer for our children, for the safety of our children, if we release the Holy Spirit onto our children, that God will see us through, that God will see them through, that God will unlock blessings for our children. Because, see, it's not just attacking us, it's killing our future. In the black community, our future, our sons and daughters have been being killed for generations, but now it's attacking everybody. We have to band together. We have to become one in Christ. We have to let go of the hate, of the racial hate, of all the bigotry. We have to let go of this in order for Christ to have his way. It's attacking everybody.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you, Brother Darius. That you just blessed my soul, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. You have anything else you would like to add, sir?
No, I just enjoyed the sermon. I had to tune in.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm always blessed, brother, by your calls, and I thank God that you saw fit to call in and to join in today. It's always a blessing and an honor.
Yes. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. As those retire, let others come forth. Do we have any more, any other people on the line, Brother Hakim?
We have quite a few people on the line. To our beautiful listeners, if you'd like to get your word in, please press the number one on your keypad. It'll let us know that you want your voice heard tonight. This
Amen.
Is your time that the pastor has set aside for you, so take advantage of it. You know, it's a good chance for you to get some blessings out. Maybe you want the pastor to say a prayer for someone who's going through a tough time. Now's a good time to do it.
Amen. Amen. Don't be shy.
Exactly.
Well, while we wait,
I wanted to say thank you for the for this particular topic and sermon and your word for this week. Because servitude is definitely needed in every community.
Amen.
You know, forgive the background noise as we speak. There's a fire truck riding by. So,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Speaking of servitude.
Right. Amen. Pray that nobody's hurt. Amen.
You know, but I think especially with everything that's going on, in the world and in this country, more people need to get out there and try their hand at helping and commit to some form of service. So I truly thank you for that today. You've inspired me.
Amen.
You know, I've been taking a lot of social welfare policy classes because I it's going to tie into a future business plan of mine. So I, you know, I literally just finished it right before the show. Right before the show. So I've jumped in there. So.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I pray nothing but good success for you in your endeavors. And, you know, we're always here at the HubNet to help you and to support you in any way possible. You know, we are a family, and that's what family do, amen. We support one another, and I just know that God is going to take you higher, and he's going to bless you mightily. And all you have to do, brother, is stay out of his way. And let him have his way.
Mm-hmm.
When you do those two things, you know, you will see God will move so quick and on your behalf that it'll make your head spin. I am a living witness to it, and you know, I have been a servant of God for now, let's see, 14 years. And but I've always known God. I've always, at a young age, I always felt that God was my best friend. That I could talk to Jesus and always seeing Jesus around me. And I have to share this one little thing while we're waiting on the callers. My grandmother was a baker, and so my grandmother always had sweets in the house. And so my mother always had sweets in the house, amen. And my favorite dessert is a sweet potato pie. And so my mother always made sweet potato pies. And my godfather, the Reverend Jesse L. Douglas, God bless him, amen, he walked with Martin Luther King. I'll share that a little bit later on. But if you know of the we'll discuss that in a minute. But my mother always had sweet potato pies, and the little crust around a sweet potato pie, I used to break it off, and I would recite the communion ritual at 5 and 6 years old, not knowing what I was doing, but I knew that it felt good. I knew that it felt good to my spirit and to my soul, and you know. And right when my wife said, "Nah, she makes the sweet potato pie, amen." but you know, it was a blessing to my soul, and not to even think that God was filling me up at a young age, you know, and for a time such as this, for a time of servitude, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful to be one of His servants. It is a blessing to my soul, because there is no greater work than to be a servant of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, let's do some conversating, amen. I need a word from somebody. Come on, bless me, somebody. We have anybody that will push the number one button and talk to me? This is your time.
Yep.
I set it aside for you. Amen. Now, if y'all want, I can keep on preaching, but I'm trying to give y'all some time.
It's just press the number one, folks.
Amen.
No one's going to bite you.
Amen.
And
but
I
prayer request. Yes, indeed. It's, you know, I'm just thankful that they're listening. Amen. I'm grateful that you're listening out there. And if you have any prayer requests, now is your time. It's not just about, you know, talking with me, but this is your time. If you need me to pray for somebody, if you're having a rough time, if you're going through something, or if you just need God to show up in your life, now is your time.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me know, and I'll pray for you. I'll pray God's spirit upon you. This is your time. Do not allow Satan to stop you from receiving God's blessing. It's your time. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. Is there one?
No one's yet. But I
Amen.
Do have a prayer request myself, actually.
Yes,
I just literally found out as we're doing the show that a close friend of mine who I lost contact with for a couple of months, actually since November 19th, has passed away on November 22nd. Her name was Oteria Williams. She literally passed away after spending a she was up here in Philly, but she's from Goldsboro down in North Carolina. And the last time I saw her was on Facebook showing off the beautiful meal she was preparing for her family for Thanksgiving. And I just didn't hear anything from her. No, couldn't get reach out to her, couldn't get in contact with her, or friends, family, nothing. And I literally just got a message that she passed away, literally the morning before Thanksgiving. So if you can say a prayer. I know I'm late, but I'm just finding out. But I'm having a hard time with this one because we were very close. And
Amen.
She was a beautiful young lady, and she died in her sleep from unknown causes. Her name is Arterio Williams. Died November 22nd. So if you could say a little prayer to her family, I would truly
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Yes, let's bow our heads right now. Father God, death is a hard time. It's hard to deal with. And it has a lasting effect on the loved ones. We ask right now, Father God, that you would comfort those in the loss of their family member, their friend, their sister, their daughter, their mother, if she was a mother.
Mm-hmm.
We ask right now, Father, that you would bless and comfort in this time of loss. Strengthen her family, Father God. Allow them to remember the good times. And Father God, when they question why her, be there, Father God, to answer their questions. We know, Father God, that you don't make mistakes. But it is so hard for us to lose our family and our loved ones. But Father God, we ask that you would be our strength in the midst of the storm. Hold us up, Father God, when we have no strength. Bless, Father God, Brother Hakim as he is hurting right now, Father God, in the loss of his friend. Give him the strength to carry on, Father. Let him remember the good times, Father, the laughing times, Father, the times that they spent together. Bless his soul right now, Father. Comfort him and wipe the tears from all of their eyes. Only you can do this, Father. We just thank you. And we love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Anytime. It's truly what I'm here for, sir. It's truly what I'm here for. Amen. Do we have anybody on now that would like to talk with us? Amen. If not, we shall continue on. I thank you for those who listen to this episode. I pray that God will bless you and that God will keep you and that there was something that you heard today that will carry you on through the rest of the week. It is my prayer for you that God will touch you in a mighty way, that God will heal you, that God will grant you peace, that God will be your covering in the midst of a storm, in the midst of the good times and the bad times. I urge you to be a servant to the people. But more importantly, be God's servant. Seek God out. Ask God, what would he have for you to do in your life? If you give God your time, God will bless you tremendously. I just don't know.
We just got a caller who wants to have their word heard.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hi, Reverend Townsend. This is David Stone. And I just
want everyone
to know how authentic the word you truly are. When I think about you, I think about Mark 25. Where were you when I was homeless? Where were you when I needed food? I remember a time in my life I didn't have a home, I didn't have food, but you gave that to me. So when you talk about making self-sacrifice and giving from your heart, you are truly the one that really introduced me to the fullest dimension of giving and self-sacrifice. And I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I want you to go on because I've taken that act of kindness that you gave me to help as many children as I can. And to make them really understand that self-sacrifice doesn't have to be painful. We can find joy in anything. If it's more blessed to give than to receive, that means that someone on the planet is getting joy from it. Why can't it be us? When we find a critical mass of people with that same motivation to be a force for good, then this world can truly change. Thank you.
Thank you. Ooh, Brother David. I have to say real fast, Brother Akim, that Brother David is like a father to me, and it is because of him and the prayers of my mother as to why I am where I am today. Brother David was one who kept his hand on me at all times to make sure that I would be a successful young man. And I just thank God for you and thank God for your testimony and amen. And I just pray that somebody is blessed through your hands, Brother David. Amen. Is there anybody else before we move on?
No, that is it. I think we're pretty much done.
Amen. All right. Well, again, it is a blessing to be among you. Know that I love you and that God loves you. And so long as God loves you, that's all you need. This has been the Jubilee Affair. God bless you and God keep you.
Some days you're weary. Some days you're weary. And you can't see your way.
And you can't see your way.
Some nights are lonely.
Some nights are lonely.
With no one to say.
With no one to say.
You can make it.
You can make it.
It's only a test.
It's only a test.
You can take it.
You can take it.
And don't you think.
And don't you think.
So wipe the tears from your eyes.
Here's
the reason why.
Yes, you can.